Ulterior.
I listened back to the episode that I made last week just to make sure that everything was good with like the sound quality and the points I wanted to get across and, you know, all that good shit. And sometimes when I was talking about Bodies by Thornhill, I would reference their album Heroin, but out of context, I'm saying things like, I went back to Heroin, or I really like Heroin, and I don't know, man, it kind of just popped me. I'm also playing Schedule 1 right now, so I got hard drugs on the brain, you know? Anyways, I feel like this topic should at least be briefly touched upon, since I'm not doing an extensive review section on this episode for it, but the Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge Deluxe Edition was unveiled, and I guess some people have been able to listen to it, myself included, and I feel like stamping the word remix next to every track could cause some to approach this deluxe trepidatiously, and I sort of feel the same, because while I was very much so open to giving this release a chance because it's fucking My Chemical Romance, these are songs that I've been living with for 20 years now, give or take. My brain has been wired to have an understanding of how they're supposed to sound, and any difference, whether it be minute or obvious, could sound not right to me. And I think one of the songs where that was a huge case of negatively was To the End. The song sounds fine initially, but then when the drum roll comes in, that's where it kind of lost me, and I was never really able to get into it from there. And if anything, I was put off from the idea of, you know, never returning to that version of To the End again. But on the inverse, Hang 'Em High was perhaps the most surprising thing about this deluxe edition for myself, because that is my favorite song, not just on Three Cheers, but by My Chemical Romance as a whole. Hang 'Em High is one of the most important songs that I've ever listened to, so I feel like I went into that remix with the preconceived notion that something about it was going to put me off, just like how I described with To the End. And very quickly, I came to realize how fucking good I think the remix of Hang 'Em High actually sounds. It is clean and crisp and retains the essence of what that song is meant to be, in my opinion. So I genuinely do love and appreciate the remix. Of course, not to the extent where I would ever say that I prefer this version over the original, but at the very least, I can say that I would not have any issue with somebody being introduced to the song through this version, and I think that is one of the biggest compliments I could possibly give the remix. And in fact, I actually adore this remix so much that I'm going to go ahead and make Hang 'Em High the intro and outro song for this episode. Maybe I get a copyright flag for it, but you know what, man? Spotify can fucking kiss my ass. And there are a lot more big compliments I have to give some other acts, because a lot happened in the past week of releases for the scene that I am incredibly high on and cannot wait to get to discuss on here and let you guys know how I feel about them. So today we have got brand new singles by the likes of Sharia Moore, For Your Health, Gnosis, and a few others that I want to shine some light on, and then brand new albums by Magnolia Park and Storm Orchestra. Thank you guys so much for tapping in, and I really hope y'all enjoy this episode. Now, is that the closest that this show will ever come to reviewing a My Chemical Romance album? I don't know, man. I feel like I've held out hope for that opportunity ever since Foundations of Decay dropped almost 3 years ago now. I do not know if MCR5 or The Paper Kingdom or whatever it could turn out to be is a real thing, but maybe one day we'll be able to review it. As for today, we do have a pretty varied lineup of singles to get through, starting with the brand new Sharia Moore song called Beyblade. friends of the show, might I add. Trey and the boys in Sharia Moore have been incredibly generous in past interactions that I've had with them over social media, and the recent success that they've been able to have thanks to Release Me is beyond well-earned and well-deserved. I will have the complete overarching conversation about Sharia Moore at a later time when the band releases their new EP Chrome Hearts on June 6th. But for now, what I do want to say about Beyblade, specifically as a song, is that you can hear a lot of the intangibles of Sharia Moore scattered throughout this single, and they really do feel like one of the most special and like forward-thinking bands that we have around us today. Skylar Accord, formerly of Issues, helped out with the production on this EP, and I believe the co-writing as well. Somebody would have to let me know if I'm right or wrong on that, but the influence from Skylar is also super evident in everything that Beyblade is stylistically, and I really think that Sharia Moore feels on top of the world right now in a way that they have not before, but also in a way that they have always been capable of. A first-time appearance on Ulterior for this band, which is always really exciting to get into. It is For Your Health and their new single, Davenport, A Rod and Pear. Yet another June 6th release announcement accompanied this single, because For Your Health will be dropping This Bitter Garden on June 6th via 3 Dot Recordings. I had listened to For Your Health in the past, but it was never at a time where they had material releasing that lined up with this show's format, which is why this is the first time I'm speaking about them. I did see some comments on the YouTube video for Davenport that likens this band's sound to others such as the Dillinger Escape Plan or Old Fall of Troy or Old Norma Jean, all of which I think makes sense as, like, you know, points of comparison or to establish what kind of familiarity exists in For Your Health sound. But I also think that they are way too unique and vital to screamo / emo violence in the contemporary age to really warrant a label being slapped on them, if you will. Davenport has the exact kind of brutality and calamity mixed together that makes it feel so, like, grimy and unsettling at times. I really enjoy the guitar jingle of sorts you can hear on two different points of the song that goes like dun, 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 dun. Because it's just like this weird little catchy section being engulfed by the flames that are Davenport, A Rod and Pear. And I think For Your Health is going to be a band on a lot more minds and lips, both in the lead up for This Bitter Garden and the months that follow it. Yet another album announcement and something to really look forward to coming up ahead this summer. Let's talk about Shin Mon by Gnosis. If somebody were to not know of Gnosis by now for whatever reason, this project was established a few years ago when Ryo Kinoshita departed from Crystal Lake. I will say that while I've always found the efforts of Gnosis to be incredibly solid or even great at times, I think, like, internally and in my head, I was still waiting for, you know, that one song by the band or that one performance by Ryo that really put me into the headspace before where I looked at Ryo and Crystal Lake with so much excitement and the belief that Ryo is one of the best screamers in the world. Shin Mon is what finally did that for me in the library of Gnosis, because I think this song like really captures the magic of Ryo's voice, and it pulls all of the heavy strengths within Gnosis into the spotlight on full display for everybody to see and hear. And there will be plenty of more opportunities this year for me to connect with Gnosis even further, because they will be dropping their debut album called Genosis on August 1st via Sharptone Records. So there is definitely a lot to look forward to and be excited for about Gnosis. So I'm actually going to just speak in detail on one more single for this episode, and it's because I really, really want to talk about this band, and I haven't given myself that chance yet on the podcast this year. It's from the Callous Dalboys, and it is called Distracted by the Mona Lisa. You know what the song title made me think of when it dropped? There was a thing for one of the overseas TVs that the WWE did a few weeks ago. I think it was a few weeks ago now by this point. And there were these people outside on the street bowing down to a portrait of the Mona Lisa. But instead of the Mona Lisa, it was Liv Morgan, which, you know, fairs. I don't know why I needed to mention that. I kind of just felt like it. I'm feeling time right now. Hi, guys. But no, seriously, the Callous Dalboys and the recent output of theirs during the singles rollout has been, like, just something that I didn't see coming at all. I gave their last album a 10 3 years ago, which I will talk a lot more about next month when I Don't Want to See You in Heaven releases on May 16th, because there's definitely a conversation that needs to be had. Not with any of you guys, but just from me to myself on some introspective type shit, but they're killing it right now, like absolutely delivering on a level that I didn't think was possible for them. Distracted by the Mona Lisa has a sense of accessibility to it with these really well-structured verses and a chorus that might be the catchiest and like most rhythmic that I've ever heard the Callous Dalboys sound. I think what we are watching from this band right now is something that really needs to be admired and marveled at, because they are making strides that I don't think anybody can deny. These were the remaining singles from last week that I gave either a 4 or a 5 to in the reviews on social media: Built to Bleed by Acres, Cocoon by All Alone Alaska, Stray by Angel Shot featuring Soulkeeper, Enjoy Your Stay by Bleed featuring Static Dress, Tear Me Down by Cold Culture, Unchained by Countervail, Forgotten by Dream Drop, Shattered by Elwood Stray, The Kingsport Curse by Fall 50 Feet, Glow in Decay by Ghost Seeker, Lie Low by Hazel, Nothing to It by Immerse, Chemical by In Dying Arms and Nihilist, When I Say by Kaonashi, Genosis by Gnosis, Set the World on Fire by Left to Suffer featuring Unity TX, Found by Lives Lost featuring Callan Quinn, Sacred Place by Orthodox, Bitter by Our Promise, Feeding the Meat Grinder by Shadow of Intent featuring Corpse Grinder, Never Enough by Turnstile, Narrow is the Road by Unvow, and Lost Within the Leaves by You Win Again Gravity. There were three singles here that I gave a 3 to. Better Than You by Our Last Night, it's not as bad as some of their other recent singles, but it's still, in my mind, pretty dull and it does, like, really nothing for me. Drag Through Glass by Upon a Burning Body, I have not been moved by this band in almost a decade, but shout out to them for ripping San Antonio. And Here's to Me, A Story to Tell Part 2 by Woe Is Me. The original Story to Tell, which was off of Genesis, an album that I actually like more than Numbers, a little bit, that song was a pretty pivotal point in my fandom for scene music when it released, but it released in 2012 when Woe Is Me still had something to say, and all these years later, the charm, it's just not there, and I don't feel anything significant towards the idea of Woe Is Me in big 2025. So those are all the singles, and I will now get into the two albums for the week, and they are two albums that I am extremely happy with, and I have essentially nothing but praise and the utmost adulation for. The first one up is the Magnolia Park album called Vamp. Okay, so I am pretty sure that one of the last spots that this podcast left off with Magnolia Park was Baku's Revenge from 2022, an album that I want to say did make top 50 that year. I'm really, really sure that it did. And I remember believing that it was a very good pop punk album that kind of helped uplift the genre at a time where I started to kind of see the cracks in it more and more every week, and I was becoming really detached from all of it. But Baku's Revenge kind of like kept my head above water in that regard, and it has a ton of songs that I still return to regularly, like Addison Rae and Misfits, the latter of which was one of my favorite songs of the year. So because I thought Magnolia Park had established a really firm footing in pop punk, the idea of them moving to a darker and heavier sound that was more centered around metalcore and nu metal isn't really something that I was apprehensive about, because I thought if Magnolia Park could excel in this one sector of the scene, that being pop punk, then who is anybody to say that they couldn't do that in a different one, you know? However, I do think that throughout the singles rollout, while the songs were good, the overall and ultimate vision of what Vamp was going to be, or at least supposed to be, it was not entirely clear, and that's maybe the only reason why, between the two albums that are being reviewed on this episode, Vamp was the one that I purposely chose to listen to second. When you get into this record, the first song you're going to hear is Pain, which sets the stage about as perfectly as an opening song possibly can when it comes to a band trying out a completely new sound. It's got attitude and aggression that expands throughout the entire record, and it very quickly feels like Magnolia Park carved out a spot for themselves in their new home of metalcore. And, you know, I could sit here and say that this album is better than Baku's Revenge, but that feels like a weird or like layered statement to try making, because Vamp is wildly separate from Baku's Revenge in almost every facet other than that they're made by the same band. This feels like a second win for a band that I didn't even think had exhausted their first win just yet. But when I hear songs like Cult or The Screams, and I think about the way that I am moved by these choruses and breakdowns, there's no room whatsoever for me to even contest that this was the wrong decision. This was absolutely the right call, 100% the right choice for a style switch so that Magnolia Park could give themselves this ultimate shot of momentum and adrenaline and give that shot to the listeners as well. Like, think of whatever modern metalcore bands you guys are fans of. I truly believe Magnolia Park delivered on an album that stands side by side with those bands. And coming out of this album, it was actually very easy for myself to point at Crave and say that was my favorite song on the record. It's just the ultimate like epitome of everything I look for in this kind of music, from a point of familiarity and also being able to do really cool shit and make me think like, wow, that worked out tremendously. Like, the verses and choruses in Crave feel so reminiscent of Linkin Park off of Hybrid Theory and Meteora, but to the point where I think Magnolia Park crafted a song in that tone to their own image, and that's exactly how it should be done. And then I think slowing down the pacing just a little bit for the closing song, Ophelia, and doing something that felt kind of like Deftones or Loathe-esque was the right call to take Vamp home and give it the atmospheric and in some ways cinematic ending that a neo-gothic concept album called for. And one of the biggest ways that I think I can compliment this album is by saying that even with Magnolia Park spending more time in their past as a pop punk band, when I think of their name now, Vamp is going to be what jumps out to me first. Vamp is enthralling. It's engaging. It feels defining of a band that took a chance on this stylistic change, and I hope that they can see the benefits and rewards of that for a long time to come, because Vamp is genuinely an achievement that I think both Magnolia Park and all of their fans should be incredibly proud of. And now that is going to bring us to the second and final album for the episode, and that is by Storm Orchestra. It is Get Better. Point blank, this is one of the best albums of the year thus far, and when I think about the last couple of years for Ulterior and what albums ended up in the top 10 for each year, I think that Get Better makes it in most of those years, if not every single one of them. That might all come across as kind of like a weighted or hyperbolic or exaggerated, but there are a lot of reasons for me to feel the immense connection to this record that I do. What I will say before I start getting sidetracked is that the way this album and band came into the picture was sometime back at the start of 2025 when I had seen something about the album announcement being imminent, and so I checked out the discography for Storm Orchestra and saw that there was a single that featured Bert from Chunk No Captain Chunk. That immediately grabbed my attention because, as I detailed during year one of Ulterior in 2021, Chunk is a very, very, very special band to me, and like they were there for me throughout the end of my time in high school and then subsequently the beginning of my college tenure. So any chance that I have to consume anything that is even remotely Chunk No Captain Chunk adjacent, I will, and that's what got me to listen to Crush the Mirrors. And very quickly, the character and personality of Storm Orchestra started to, like, I guess, just to kind of paint the picture, overtake me like a symbiote. And even though it was the Chunk No Captain Chunk feature that got me here in the first place, Storm Orchestra immediately became one of my favorite discoveries in the history of this platform. And that kind of parlays into another reason why I love this band and album so much now, because it feels nostalgic for myself to a time in Ulterior's history back in like 2021 and 2022 where it sometimes felt like the brand new bands that I was discovering were the backbone of this whole production. Times where I could be like, hey guys, I just found a band called Sharia Moore, let me tell you about them. Or, hey guys, I just found a band called Foreign Hands, let me tell you about them. That is a feeling that I've missed out on when being inactive in the podcast aspect of Ulterior. And Storm Orchestra very much so helped me find that again. And it was easy for Get Better to be the catalyst of me expressing all of these feelings because musically, this album is genuinely perfect in my opinion. I just mentioned Crush the Mirrors as one of the singles, but the entire rollout was remarkable. Drummer is one of the catchiest songs I've heard in the last year. Desolé, which features JJ Wild, is a slower take on Storm Orchestra's style, and I think the contrast between Maxime's and JJ's voices like really becomes the complementary piece that completes that song. This is the only song before this point by Storm Orchestra that I ever reviewed on this podcast, and I found myself listening to it a lot in the lead up to the album releasing, And then even thereafter, it has this emphatic bounce to the chorus that, when mixed in with the vocals, I started to ask myself, if Super Player is the best song of 2025 thus far? Because there are parts of my brain that are starting to lean into that direction. Like, it feels to me that this might be the most defining song of these last few months, and even coming out of this record and the plethora of times I've listened to it, Super Player just stands out as this, like, larger-than-life entity, and this, like, beaming light on the album right before you get into what's kind of the meat and potatoes of it in the second half. And then once you get into the rest of Get Better, I think there is a giant palette that will seriously satisfy whatever it is that somebody could be looking for out of alternative rock that has just the right hint of post-hardcore attached to it. Cut Loose Somehow feels so vibrant and encourages the listener to, like, move and dance along to it. We Will Be the Last feels so emphatic and triumphant in its sound and delivery. Tear Myself Down and Get Back in Time, they both kind of go hand in hand in my mind, as they are so anthemic and provide these giant sing-along moments that play up the strength behind Storm Orchestra's songwriting abilities, and they're also able to convey a lot of emotion. Our Victory, which is the penultimate song on the tracklist, did rank number one in Scenic Overlook, and thus will be talked about at length again in December as one of the best songs of 2025, and I think it has every right to maintain that distinction. In my mind, and this was, just to paint this picture again, this was so clear to me from the moment I first heard it, Our Victory feels like a Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge song, and I don't say that just because Three Cheers has been on the brain the last week, but right from the opening seconds, I think Maxim's vocal cadence has a lot of Gerard Way in it, and then from there, the song becomes this, like, theatrical piece that is supported by these piano notes that are sometimes faint and then sometimes the center of attention. Our Victory is the mission statement of the album that leads you into Trash the Room, which gives off, like, set closing vibes and is meant to be the last call for the crowd to move around and get their shit in. Get Better is not only one of the best albums that I've reviewed in this year so far, I think it is one of the best albums I have ever reviewed on this show in the 4 years that I've been doing this shit. I am very strongly firm in the belief that, you know, this album stands, like, so tall in comparison to a lot of its contemporaries and a lot of the, like, true juggernauts I have ever talked about here. It is addictive in every sense of the word, and each of these songs I have returned to time and time again this past week just to, like, marvel at, and each time I hear these songs, I find this, like, reinvigorated passion and a new, like, I'm sorry, I'm getting, like, so, like, flustered now, and I'm having to, like, readjust myself, and, like, my voice is kind of going out now. I have so much excitement talking about Get Better, and like, if I was still doing video content, which I will get to one day in the future, I promise you guys that, if I was still doing video content, you guys would see on my face right now the biggest, fattest fucking smile you ever seen somebody have when talking about scene music, but that's just because, like, that's the kind of joy that this album brings me. That's the kind of, that really, like, vibrant and warm feeling that, you know, somebody can get out of scene music. And Storm Orchestra was able to instill that feeling within me each and every single time I press play on Get Better. It's been that way for the last couple of days now, and I imagine it is going to be that way for the rest of my life. Get Better is one of the most special and remarkable albums that I've ever covered on Ulterior, and I'm saying all this with the assumption that you guys listening right now, you don't know who Storm Orchestra is. You've never heard of this band. You've never heard their music before. And that's fine. What I really want you guys to take out of this review is you hear my excitement and you hear how just elated and over the moon I sound about Get Better. And in turn, you decide to give this album and this band a chance, because I really, really believe there is something here for everybody. And there will be something, or even some things, in Get Better that you guys can become as attached to as I am. And that's it. Those were the albums and singles for the past week for me to review. Hey, second week in a row with a new episode. Will I make it 3 in a row? I don't know, man. Come back next week and we'll all find out together. And if I do an episode next week, then do expect me to start to waffle about the NFL draft, because that is something that I am very, very locked in for, and I have a lot of thoughts. Houston, do not fuck this up. Do not fuck this up. Anyways, I will see you guys later. Talk to you at another time. Take care, and I don't know where I go with these outros anymore. Just have a good day. Have a good weekend. Have a good life.